other stats that talk about how many chicken wings are consumed on Super Bowl. And I don't have that memorized off the top of my head, but it's in the millions. It blows your mind. Are there any stats on how many eggs we go through on Easter? Or how many aren't recovered?
Well, that's a good thing, because we always tell people before Easter, because of the heat, we recommend that you have your coloring eggs for hunting and put them right back into the refrigerator. But depending on our heat, and, you know, it's warm, so give those to your pets and reserve some for your just, you know, eating, human consumption. Because once they're out of the refrigerator, like I said, they lose their freshness, and that's when the problems start happening. That's a protein, and it gets past that 45-degree mark, and you could have a problem. So don't risk getting your family sick.
And this is wrapping up the National Egg Salad Week.
Many people don't know that, but you're exposing some earth-breaking news that this was National Egg Salad Week. We always get asked to bring deviled eggs. Avocados are a big thing. And by the way, Jay's customers, avocado farmers in San Diego, the avocado trees like our Farm's Choice
they
product.
Sure do.
You forgot the wine.
Oh,
people.
There's a good Easter item, right?
So,
yes, we sold a lot of the vineyards. Yeah.
We know that eggs and egg salad, it pairs well with wine and Jay's avocado customers. But really, egg salad can be anything, and its ethnicities, you know, do.
And Charmin has some great recipes on Fill Your Plate. And so does her mama. Gertie's got some recipes on Fill Your Plate, too. So we're totally covered.
Now, is there any harm? I mean, these dyes can't contain anything hazardous. If we found an egg a couple weeks later, you just throw it in the compost.
Oh, as far as composting?
Yeah, no. I mean, if something that's been all decorated and dyed up, scribbled on, and special markers on the shell.
You know, if you compost properly and for the right amount of time, there's only one occurring thing that can't be composted out over time. And that's arsenic. And so, in theory, composting is a natural cleanser of it'll wipe out anything but that one. And I don't think many people are putting anything that would have arsenic
in
their compost. Well, or in their compost pile. But yes. So to answer that question, much shorter. No, yeah, there's no issue with especially most food dye. If you're using a food dye, now if you're using paint, which I can't
that might
imagine.
Be composting that
probably
for a long
time. You probably wouldn't want to be eating those either. But
and the Farm's Choice, we're still right in the middle of our spring growing season. You know, it's a great potting soil supplement, but this is a great fertilizer as well on the pellet side of the.
We make a you know a compost product that you could as a soil amendment. That you can till into the ground, mix with your native soil or other soil, potting soils, those types of products for planting in. But we also then make pelleted fertilizer and a non-pelleted crumble, we call it, or it's a heat-treated product that's not in a pellet. So we have numerous products. We're also, you know, talking about new items, we're working on a liquid product. So that's in the infant stages, but that will be something that we're pretty excited about down the road for not only commercial use, but for the homeowner as well.
What will the liquid product be used for? I'm just curious about that one.
Well,
I did see it.
Liquid fertilizers are used obviously commercially with farmers. They'll put it right in their ditch with irrigation water or run through drip irrigation or sprinkler irrigation system. Some of our golf courses are trying it through their sprinkle irrigation. And, you know, homeowners can just, you know, like they use other water-soluble or liquid fertilizers with their in their watering can and their containers and pots around the house. Liquid fertilizers are much quicker acting because they're already soluble. So they're readily available to the plant. And, you know, a lot of people like them because they're just easier to use. You put a little bit in a watering can, mix it up, and you're ready to go. So.
And you can see it. You know, when you put a granular out, you're never really quite sure, did I get this area covered? Is this enough? Is that too much?
Well, and some people, depending on the type of landscape they have or the irrigation system they have, it may never get. You know, I mean, we get so little rain here that, you know, it takes water to dissolve a granular or a dry or a pellet fertilizer.
Now, we're still about a month away from our next citrus fertilizer, but is the pellet application something that would be, work on the citrus groves?
Absolutely. We have lots of citrus growers from Mesa to Yuma in Southern California that use our product, and, of course, backyard citrus farmers, urban farmers. Greg Peterson, our urban farm, sells that at his store and encourages people to use it as well.
Jay Harper of the Farm's Choice, organic chicken fertilizer, a byproduct of Hickman Family Farms. And we've got Charmin. I love your title, the spokeshen for the family.
One of them. There's plenty more.
Well, thank you for being here this morning with us. And Julie Murphy of the Arizona Farm Bureau.
My pleasure, as always, Romy.
And we'll be here the first Saturday in May talking beef.
Yes, and I've got plenty of ranchers that will come in. I think, though, you were interested in the Tomerlin ranch family, their Arizona Legacy Beef. It's very good.
Well, we look forward to having Arizona Farm Bureau with local farmers and ranchers in the first Saturday in May here at Rosie on the House.